If you have your copy of the scriptures this evening, I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. I mentioned yesterday morning and last night, and probably should mention again tonight, I am preaching messages that I first preached here 50 years ago. 1973 was the first time I came to Glendale and preached a revival. I've not been here every year since then, but most of them. The more I thought about this year, the more I thought about the meeting 50 years ago.
Amen.
So I went back to my office and picked up the Bible that I used 50 years ago. I brought it with me, and I'm preaching these messages still in this Bible. Now, you've never seen one like it. You'll never see another one like it. You wouldn't understand it if you did.
Yeah.
This is the Sables Annotated Bible. There's only one copy of it in the world.
Yeah.
And I have it, and some of it I can't interpret. So I'm going to say it probably is too deep for most of y'all. Not that the truth is too deep, but the ink is too blurred. So whatever is in the blurred places will just have to remain in the depths. But I'm reading from the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives, they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But
amen.
Noah,
yes,
found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I'm going to try to forget about some of the things that I read in this passage for the purpose of preaching the message tonight that I preached 50 years ago. Some of the things mentioned in this passage I probably cannot explain to you any better than I did 50 years ago. If you feel adequate, maybe sometime you'll be given time to share your views. A man could preach a fair sermon about Noah and the ark in this chapter using 4 points. He could talk about Noah and the giants. He could talk about Noah and grace. He could talk about Noah and God. And he could flip the page to chapter 8, verse 22 and talk about Noah and the globe. That'd be a fair message.
Yes.
That wasn't what I preached on 50 years ago. I have some simple points there in the margin here on the side of my Bible. I started off like this. There are 3 arcs talked about in the Bible. There is the ark of Noah, the ark of bulrushes, which Moses was placed in and placed in the Nile River, and later an ark of the covenant, wherein was the law, the commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot of manna. Now there's already enough said in those 3 ideas. Be here a while. Generally speaking, the ark, wherever you find it, whether it's Noah's ark, the ark that Moses was in, or the ark of the covenant, all of them speak generally and picture generally the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of my earliest memories of preaching and preachers was older preachers. They seemed to me old as Methuselah when I was a little boy. Because I wore overalls. I went to church barefooted. I sat right on the front seat, twinkle my toes and wiggle my legs while the preachers are preaching. Did the same thing on the back end of the tailgate of the pickup truck getting there. Of course, nowadays you got to be bound down hand and foot like Lazarus in the grave, go anywhere in an automobile. But I remember those old preachers, and they would preach and preach about the ark, and they called it the ark of safety. That's the way they referred to the ark. Truly you could understand when the flood came, there's just one place that is safe.
Yes.
You couldn't climb the highest tree or the highest mountain and be safe.
Right.
You surely wouldn't want to run underground to a cave, not when a flood's coming.
No.
You would not be safe in the arms of your parents if your parents were not inside the ark.
Yes, that's right.
The point of the old preacher was, there's just one place of safety.
Yes.
One place of salvation.
Yes.
And that salvation place is in Jesus.
Amen.
You see, believers are in Christ just like Noah was in the ark.
Yes.
Amen.
Now you can expand on those thoughts. Noah being in the ark The flood being a judgment of God, which it no doubt was. A judgment of God because of the sinfulness of men on the earth. So it is a picture of the believer in Christ safe from the wrath of God.
Yeah.
And we are told plainly in the New Testament, in Romans, also in Thessalonians, concerning the position of the saved person. Saved or safe from the wrath of God. We are told that an unsaved person is always under the wrath of God until they're saved.
Right.
You see? So, he that believeth not, what's his condition? The wrath of God abideth on him. Third chapter of John. But to him that believeth, there's no more condemnation.
Right.
There's no more wrath.
Amen.
So, we have comfort in that great truth.
Amen.
But if you want to think about the ark of bulrushes, not only are we safe from the wrath of God, but we're safe in Jesus from the attacks of Satan. You see, one of the most vivid pictures of Satan you'll ever have incarnate is in the Pharaoh of the Exodus.
Yeah.
He's a picture of Satan himself who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But thank God, little Moses was in something the old Pharaoh couldn't touch.
Yeah.
You know why? God was guarding that time.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you tonight, if you're saved, God is your heavenly guardian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when the enemy comes, he'll not be able to take you. He may tempt you, but he cannot take you because you are forever sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. If you want to go a little further, the Ark of the Covenant containing the law and the commandments. You see, as believers, we are not under the law, but we are under grace. We're under grace. There can never be an occasion when we will have to give account based on that law. Why? Christ answered that law when he came, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, raised from the dead victorious over sin, over hell, over the devil and everything else, proving he had all power in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
In him, we have the victory eternally.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
If I don't say another word, that's enough.
That's it.
Just talking about the arcs of the Bible. I remember hearing about a little fellow in Sunday school years ago. I have this written here. I used my draftsman's pen years ago when I was writing these notes in here. It's the finest point that I've had, and that's what I used. But I got a little note here about a little fellow that heard about the Ark of Noah, and then he went to the Sunday school class, and the teacher talked about the Israelites carrying the ark across the Red Sea. And he couldn't distinguish between the ark of Noah and the ark of the covenant. And boy, he had trouble. He said, I can't figure out how in the world they got that big old thing to go across. So how'd they carry that thing? That might be a puzzle to you. I don't know. But let's talk about the ark that God instructed Noah to build just a little. First point I have here is a point called divine preparation. Divine preparation. I'm going to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to pick up one verse of scripture that summarizes the entire chapters in Genesis concerning the Ark of Noah. Hebrews chapter number 11. This is the Baptist version of it. Baptist people always love the shortest sermon. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, buddy, that verse is packed.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it really is.
Yes.
I got another message jotted down. See, I told you I had 4 points and I've got 6 over here. No, there's 7. I see another. Talk about Noah's faith. What was the ground of his faith? The Word of God.
Right. Yes.
God warned him.
Yep.
That means he said something to him.
Yep. Right.
He warned him. Not only that, the sphere of his faith, things not seen as yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to have faith to believe what you see.
Amen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? But look at this. The character of his faith, moved with fear. What does that mean? He had the right attitude toward God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, according to Romans chapter 3, in the lost man's life, there is no fear of God before his eyes.
Right, right.
But once the person gets to know God by faith, he develops a holy, wholesome fear of God.
Amen.
Noah wasn't fearing the flood. He was fearing God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when a man fears God, he don't need to fear anybody or anything else.
Right. Yes.
Think about that. The sphere of his faith. The character of his faith. The evidence of his faith. How do you know Noah had faith? He prepared an ark.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
God told him floods come. He prepared an ark. The evidence of his faith. The issue of his faith. Saving of his house.
Mm.
Wouldn't you like to know tonight that all of your house would be saved?
Amen.
If you don't have any people in your family that you believe are lost, I'd like to share some names with you.
Yeah.
There's some people in my family that I tell you, I find it hard to think that they're saved. I wish they were. I hope they are.
Amen.
But I don't see a lot of evidence of it.
Yes.
Say, preacher, that's not for you to say. I know it's not for me to say. It's for me to pray. I know that. But oh, listen tonight. Wouldn't it be a real comfort if you knew for sure that all of your children, all of your grandchildren, oh, listen. Miss Sue and I have 3 great-grandchildren now. 2 of them born same time. Just a week ago, it'll be a week ago Friday, well, Wednesday, week ago Wednesday. See, I'm so old and I forgot when it was. But they are new. A boy and a girl, twins. And another one is only 2 years old now. Or she's 3. Huh? She's 3? Heaven help, Mama, how old am I? Somebody needs to come up here and preach. I've lost my mind. That's what great grandpas do. But I look at those 2 little old babies and I prayed in the room with them shortly after they arrived, and I said, God, please don't let these babies grow up without hearing your name.
Yes.
Understanding your plan of salvation.
Yes.
Being introduced to Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Something's going to have to change if they do.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Something's going to have to change if they hear the gospel.
Yes.
Boy, that can get heavy if you keep listening to it.
Yes.
What was Noah's faith he witnessed?
Yes.
What was Noah's witness? The Bible said he condemned the world.
Yeah.
Does that mean he went out and said, y'all all going to hell? I don't think that's what it meant.
No.
But the very fact that he was righteous and his world was unrighteous,
yeah.
His very life and presence brought condemnation.
Yes. Amen.
Think about that.
Yes.
And then the reward. The Bible said he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What I'm telling you is divine preparation was at work in the building of the ark.
Yes, it was.
And I'm going to tell you tonight, Christ Jesus did not come into this world in a haphazard kind of a way.
No, he didn't.
According to the scripture, he was and is the Lamb of God from the very foundation of the world.
Amen.
I can't fathom all of that, but I know before there was ever a man, there was a Savior.
Yes.
And his name was Jesus.
Yes.
The Eternal One, dwelling in his glory with God, his Father. But one day, the Eternal Word became flesh.
Yes.
And came into this world, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, and now he is raised from the dead, seated at God's right hand, and able to save all who will come unto God by him.
Thank God.
Thank God for the divine preparation.
Glory to God.
Now, the second little point I have here is in verse 1 of chapter 7. Chapter 1 of verse number 7. The instructions about the ark are detailed in the intervening verses.
Yeah.
I don't have time to talk about it, but I want to read this verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, what's the next word, please?
Come.
Do you realize that in our English Bible, our King James Bible, the word come is used over 500 times.
Wow.
Over 500 times. And most of the time, God is the one who used
it.
Or Jesus. You remember? Peter. Lord, if it be thou bid me come unto thee on the water, what did Jesus say to him?
Come.
Matthew 11:28, what did Jesus say? Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. What did the prophet Isaiah say in his 55th chapter?
Yes.
Come to the waters.
Yes.
Come to the waters. He that is thirsty, let him come and drink of the fountain. Hey, Revelation, the last few chapters.
Yes.
Let him that heareth say, come. The Spirit says, come. The Bride says, come.
Yeah.
Whosoever will, let him come.
Yeah.
Bible's full of come.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank God.
Just as I am.
That's it.
Yeah.
I come. I come.
Yes.
Invitation. Man said to me one time, I don't believe in giving invitations. I says, well, I'm not going to argue with you about that if you don't want to give them, but God did.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I want you to think about this. God said to Noah in Genesis 7, verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house and into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I want you to think about where God was when he said that. God had to already be in it.
Amen.
Yes.
Had God been on the outside pointing and saying, Noah, he wouldn't have said come. He'd said get.
That's That's right.
A goat.
Right.
Yeah. It'd been Mississippi, he wouldn't have said get, he said G-I-T, get. That's what we say to the dog over in Mississippi. Dog, get. But you understand what I'm meaning. The implication is, hey, God is inside this thing. He's inhabited this thing. And he's saying to Noah and his family who were yet on the outside, come. I like that.
Yes.
Come. How many of us recall when we were on the outside?
Yeah.
We heard the gospel and God said, come.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
How did you come? Just as you were.
Yes.
Preacher, I'm coming when I get all my ducks in the row. You won't ever find all your ducks.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
No. Much less get them in a row. You just have to come.
That's it.
Just come. What do you bring with you? Nothing.
Nothing.
Just come. I love it. I love it.
Amen.
Divine invitation, refuge from the guilt of our sin, from the death of our sin, from the wrath that was due on our sin. What a wonderful truth. But not only was the ark a matter of divine preparation and divine invitation, but it brought about divine separation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus, in his prophetic sermon in Matthew 24, speaks of Noah and the flood and what happened.
Yeah,
he speaks of that, Jesus. And then Peter, in his writings, talked about Noah and the flood. He did.
Yes.
He said 8 souls were saved.
Yeah.
But what?
Right.
That was Noah and Mrs. Noah, their 3 sons, and their wives.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's it.
They were the only people that were on the ark.
Yes.
Those that were just around the outside didn't make it.
No.
And there were lots of people outside.
Yes, sir.
Some people have trouble believing that all people are not going to make it. They teach universalism. Oh, we're all going to heaven after all. I beg to differ with you.
That's right.
Amen.
Boy, that was a separation took place. When that flood began to rise and that ark began to rise, Noah and his family had listened to God's invitation, got inside that ark, and God shut that door. Nobody got in. Nobody would get out until God's appointed time.
Yes, right.
You may not share this belief, but I believe there's a time when you can get on board.
Yeah.
But there can come a time when that door will shut.
Amen. Well,
right.
Yes,
it
will.
And when God shuts the door, you won't get in.
No.
One of the most powerful messages I ever heard about Noah and the ark was a preacher in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Well, he pastored in Moss Point, Mississippi. Brother Ralph Young. You might remember him, Brother Merton. He preached a message one night titled, Nail Scars on the Ark. Made an impression on me. I was a young preacher. And I heard Brother Raff preach that message. And he said, I'll promise you, there was people when they realized that their hope of being saved from that flood was in that ark. And I guarantee they wore their fingernails off trying to get a grip on the sides of it to climb up to try to get on it or get in it or hang on to it. I don't know what you thought about when you saw the terrible exodus from Afghanistan a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And those people, run out and grab that airplane.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of vigil you had. My mind went right back to Ralph's sermon. I thought about how bad those people over there were wanting to get out of that country.
Yes.
A lot of them lost their lives trying to hold on to that airplane because they knew.
Yes.
If they didn't get out of that place,
yes,
they'd never live to see another day.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, if people could realize how serious it is to be lost without God,
yes,
they'd do whatever,
yes,
whatever,
yes,
just to be sure,
yes,
you're in the ark.
Yes.
You're in that place of safety. Noah, when he got on that ark, he was headed for a new world.
Yes.
Buddy, I want to tell you, when you get Christ, when you're saved by the grace of God and you're in Christ, you're going to leave this world behind.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
You'll leave it behind initially because you won't want to walk with the world anymore.
No.
You'll have the same kind of faith Noah had. And I read to you tonight in verse number 9, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say one clarifying truth about that. Noah was a just man, but he was just a man.
That's right.
You find that shortly after he got off the ark.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was just a man, but he was a just man.
Amen.
Now the same word is used in the New Testament concerning Lot.
Yeah,
yes,
it is.
He is called a just man.
Yes.
And in the Hebrew or the Greek, either one you want to read in the New Testament, the Greek language, the word just is the root word for our larger word, justified.
Yes.
What does justification mean? It means to be declared or seen to be righteous before God because of the righteousness of another.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, you look over here and he said, preacher, he was perfect in his generations. Now what that has to do with all of the confusion that is going on in the world that's described having to do with these giants and all of that stuff. You say, why don't you talk about that? That's not my mission. I'll talk to you at church if you want to. But I'm not talking about it now because it don't matter to us. Not now. Not what I'm preaching now.
Yeah.
What I'm preaching now is this. The ark is Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come. Get inside.
Amen.
Be saved. Get it settled. And when you get settled and you're in Christ, you'll be justified because of faith in Him.
Amen.
And I promise you, praise God, it'll change the way you walk, the way you talk, and the way you live.
Yeah.
And you'll want to walk with God.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, Noah didn't get mixed up in the present world he was in. He stayed apart from it.
Yes.
And there's lots of people preach a salvation without a separation.
That's right.
But I don't think the Bible will warrant that.
No.
I believe the people that God saves, and I'm probably running too far for some of you, but I personally believe they've been separated eternally so. But there comes a point in life when they recognize their need of a Savior and they believe the gospel, and having believed that gospel, there will be a separation from the world.
Yes.
And hallelujah, we're headed to a world that we won't have to clean up. It's already cleaned up.
That's right.
It'll be ready when we get there.
Yes, it will.
All right. If I jumped in the hole and lost you, come back. I want to give you one more point. I'm going to quit. Divine preparation, divine invitation, divine separation, divine preservation. The only people alive after the flood was Noah.
Yes.
Shem.
Yeah.
Ham.
Yes.
And Japheth.
Yes.
And every human being in the world tonight can trace your genealogy to one of the three.
Right.
And of course, all of those eight people take their genealogy right on back to Adam and Eve.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You say, well, where does Christ fit in all of that? He's not in all that.
That's right.
You say, well, didn't he become a man? Yeah, but he's in a Christ by himself.
That's right. Yes.
There's two human beings that's in Christ by the same.
Yeah.
Adam was one of them.
Yeah.
He didn't have a physical mother or dad.
No.
Jesus Christ is another.
Yeah.
He had a physical mother, but not a physical father.
That's right.
You say, well, he was just like us. You better leave that word just out.
That's right.
He wasn't just like us.
Amen.
Everybody I'm looking at tonight, it was two brought you around here.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
You had a papa and a mama.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't have an earthly father.
Right.
Dr. Lee used to say it this way, he who in eternity rested on the bosom of his father without a mother, in time, rested on the bosom of his mother without an earthly father.
Yes. Good.
History's unique man.
Yes.
In the true sense of the word unique.
Yes, amen.
Never been another man like him?
Never right. will be.
Oh, I'm telling you. Mm. I'm telling you. That's big. You know what he is tonight? He's the ark of safety.
Yes.
That's right.
I'm saying to you, be sure that you believe him, that you trust him.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Somebody said an acrostic of the word faith would read something like this: forsaking all others, I take him.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
Are you in? In the ark. Father,
yes.
I pray you bless your word. There's a heart in this building that's not settled, sure. Resting in your promises and on your provision, I pray tonight they'd settle that issue before.
Yes.
A dismissal prayer.
Yes.
We ask you to help those who have been at this meeting that no doubt in my mind have sensed your convicting power. I pray for a young man, I don't even know his name, but I'm asking you, get in the truck with him.
Yes.
Lord, speak to him. Bring back what he heard. And deal with him.
Yes.
Save him.
Yes.
God save him.
Yes.
Lord, there's some that were with us yesterday that are gone today.
Yes.
There could be some with us tonight that'll be gone tomorrow.
Yes.
So help us to make good use of the time.
Yes.
We pray in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Brother Tuberville is coming. Our pianist is coming. Brother John.